All right, sweet. Well, we're ready to go. And Sam, you can still hear us, correct?
Yes, I can.
Sweet. Okay. So what I was at, my first question was, where did this all begin for you with motorsports? How did you get that urge for speed and, to get where you are today with monster trucks?
Well, I've always worked on motors. I used to work on the Chevrolet garages, building motors, transmissions, differentials. And then I started actually in mud bogging, and I did very, very well in mud bogging and made a good living at it. I just worked part time and did mud bog just dang near full time. And then the dollar amount fell out of mud bogs because everybody started grooming the tracks and making it a freeway and a mud drag instead of a bog door. Thrills and spills were gone. So about that time, well, monster trucks had started coming around, and so in the mid-90s, I started building. We built three tanks, Nest, not Nest, at the General. And well, there's two generals and a dad, daddy's girl, and we ran those for a while, and then me and my partner broke up, and then I built the cool bus and ran the bus for years, and then built another tank, and then started in on the trucks, and so just I'm a motorhead, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking back at your buggy days, what was you had a couple different buggies. Which one was your favorite?
Okay, the one that was called Spider 2, it was a all it was all aluminum, a mid engine, all aluminum. It weighed about 1400 pounds, and it had hillborn injection, and I ran nitrous on it, and I ran nitro in it also, and boy, it kicked butt.
Oh, I can imagine. So when you got into the tank game, you said you had a couple different tanks at first. Which did you primarily drive a specific tank, or did you just drive both of them throughout the events?
No, I just drove one of them, the General, and yeah, that one, and
Yep.
that is the original there. And then it was the me and my partner's brother was the one that built it, and it was my motor and all that. And well, he ended up selling it, and then they built another one, but I was out of the partnership then. And so I built one called Mad Tracks, and had a lot of fun with it.
And I believe we have a picture of the Mad Tracks if you want to show that one, Vincent. Yeah,
That's
there's
it.
Mad Tracks. Yep.
Yeah, and I even got that one upside down once. They said it'd be about impossible, but man, I did it.
So, what was it like being upside down in a tank? I'd imagine that's a lot different than in a monster truck.
Not really. It you're so secured in the in that thing. I built it to where I could run through like motor homes, travel trailers. It was built up, so I wasn't one bit nervous whenever it got upside down. And no, it's just and that felt comfortable. And the monster trucks, I'm not worried about it either. And it's just part of the game and part of the showmanship.
So, what was the biggest difference in between the three different tanks? Was there they operate mostly the same, or was there like some big key difference that set them apart?
The only thing I did different on no, I did it on the first one, and then I did it on Mad Tracks, and I put a CO2 bottle in there to run. I took like used the joysticks off from a semi trailer brake, and put a CO2 bottle in there with brake pods up there to where you don't have to pull lever. All you do is just whack and it turns. And the first one I built, Bill Payne has it now. You know, it went through several owners, and Bill Payne has got it now, and he's running it backwards than what I ran.
Could that be Major Payne? I believe Bill's running it as now.
And he did name it right, Major Payne.
So you went everywhere with those tanks, and one of them specifically, the Mad Trax, it made its debut in Knight Rider 2000. What was that experience like, having the tank filmed for a TV movie?
It was cool. It was, you know, a couple of real long nights out there, up all night, you know, and it was cool. But to tell you the truth, I have never seen the movie. I've heard of other people seeing it, but I haven't personally seen it.
Yeah. I think it's one of those that's lost in the archives somewhere in Hollywood. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we got a comment here from Rick Curcio, and he said, I know I butchered his last name. I'm sorry, Rick, but he says, the only tank to drive through a stack of five cars.
I did that.
Now, what was that like? I mean, I know that's so daunting when you're in a monster truck, but I'd imagine that's a different view when you're in a tank.
Yeah, it is just like a big black wall in front of you, and as long as you hit it hard, things would fly over the top of you, you know, and. And like I say, it was built so tough that you didn't have to worry about it crashing down.
Right. Now, make sure you guys are listening live. You know, we have Sam. His audio is perfectly fine now. So make sure you share this video all across Facebook so everybody can jump in and hear Sam tell his story. And, you know, Sam, when you were doing those tanks, You're always, you said it yourself, you're a motorhead, and you're always working on something, and you started to build your first ride truck. What was that first ride truck, and what went into that build?
Okay, it was the ride truck was called the Cool Bus, and I actually it was a 56 Chevy school bus, and I actually went out, bought it, I drove it home. I jacked it up, took out all of the running gear, and got me a set of planetaries, and put them up and under there, and I built the chain drive. It was before the gearboxes was really that popular, so I did the chain drive, and it was the cool bus. It held 24 people, and man, I ran it a lot.
So why did you choose a school bus? I mean, that was really the first monster school bus, and you know, ride trucks were still maybe not as big as they are now. Why did
really bad.
Breaking up? Okay, I was asking, why did you choose a school bus?
Oh, okay. Why did I choose a school bus?
Yes.
Because it was, you know, a school bus is made to roll over three times or four times without collapsing. And two, it held 24 people, and it was something different, you know. I didn't want to get a generic pickup truck and put seats in the back. You know, I wanted something different.
Absolutely. So now there was another point where the bus was painted black and green to look like Gravedigger's Boneyard Shuttle. How did that come about?
Well, it came out about Dave Matthews, he was a big time promoter in California. Dennis ran a lot with me and Matthews and stuff. And Dave did a haunted house deal. And let's see, it was Salinas. Yeah. And so he talked to me and we made a deal with Dennis that we get it painted. And then I gave him so much a ride, you know, and so it went over big. We was out in Salinas for a whole month giving rides, and it worked.
So now, which did you like better, the Cool Bus or the Boneyard Shuttle?
Well, you know, the Cool Bus was cool. But, you know, just I went same places time after time after time. And so that's whenever I got rid of it and built the Boogie Monster. And it was more of an open deal. And I could still get 22 to 24 people, according on how big the people was. And like I say, I don't want a generic something. So I built it to look different, you know.
Absolutely. So we have another fan question here from our friend Christopher Allen. And Vincey, pull that up on the screen.
Yeah, it's right over here. He says, "Hi, Sammy, your friend Christopher here. What's something that old school monster truck shows had that modern shows lack?"
Well, the old school. I don't know. I think the modern stuff is way beyond what we was doing back then. You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that because it just came forward leaps and bounds. It's a whole lot better now than back in the day.
So eventually the time came for you to get into racing monster trucks. How did you get your first race truck?
I did my first one was unnamed Untamed. I got from Bill Oliver and my brother. Mike West had it. It was being shuffled around between three people, and I ended up with it, and I started running it, and then started building other trucks.
Gotcha. So, what were some of the biggest challenges when you first got the race truck?
You know, the shocks is so bad back then. You know, it's no comparison now. It would be the landing and the rebound, and you know, it just beat you, man. It just beat you up, and you couldn't go out there and drive like a, you know, weenie. You know, you got to go out and do a show the best you can. But yeah, they just landed so hard back then.
So a lot of people know Unnamed and Untamed for its wheelies. Was that always something that you took a liking to right off the bat, or was that something you had to teach yourself?
Well, in the Spider 2 and the Mud Racer, I used to be able to carry the front wheels all of the way through the bogs. And then we had... didn't have the four wheelers, but we had three wheelers that we ran in the dunes and stuff. And we'd always do wheelies all over. So, you know, and I knew what it takes to do a wheelie, you know, and the biggest thing is, like I taught all the other guys that drove for me, patience. You know, if you try to stab it too soon, it will not come up. You gotta find that sweet spot.
We got a question here from Levi Shones, and he wants to know, so with Unnamed and Untamed having a few ironic schemes, what's been your favorite scheme over the years?
You know, I like the yellow, but man, it seemed like it was bad luck, you know. And the pink and green was okay, but you know, I really liked the yellow because it took good pictures, and you know, it was cool. But man, about every time we painted, it would be upside down, you know. So I changed colors and changed my luck.
So another question from our good friend Levi. He said, "Sam, what's the longest wheelie you've ever rode out?"
You know, I couldn't honestly say, but man, I'm sure. I don't know. I rode Sephora, ran out. Run on down into the dark. I don't know. There's probably, probably 300 yards or so, or more. I never really, you know, measured, you know, or you know, figured it out.
So who were your, you know, favorite people to run with on the West? And there's a lot of competitive guys out here on the West. Who are some of your favorite people to run with?
Some of the favorite monster truck people? Well, Pat Gerber, you know, with his dad and I, we was mud racers together. And, you know, always enjoyed running with Pat Gerber. I don't really have my favorite. There's, you know, I can get along with about all of them. You know, there's a few of them I'd rather not be there with, but I deal with it. And, but as far as having, other than Pat, he is about my favorite.
So we got another question here from Rick. He says, "Ask him about the time the Bigfoot driver got hurt after a phone call from Bob Chandler. Bob asked Sammy to drive it for the rest of the show."
Yep, I did. He had hurt his back, and we had to pull the body off to get him out. And they talked to Chandler, and they found out I was there. And so they wanted me to drive it. And I tell you, I see why that kid got hurt, because that thing landed terrible. My old unnamed untamed is like a Cadillac compared to the way they had the shocks set for him. You know, so, but, you know, I'm a pretty tough old dude. And I sucked it up and ran the crap out of it. I didn't want to destroy it. I didn't want to hurt it, but I did have fun in it, and I ran it hard.
Well, I learned something new tonight, Sam. I never knew you're an official driver of Bigfoot.
Yeah, once.
Still counts.
It counts.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sam, this has become a family affair for you. You know, towards the late 90s, you had your nephews in tow with you, Ronnie and Travis. What was that experience like with them, working alongside of them and seeing them grow and develop?
Oh man. It was awesome whenever, you know, they came on board and traveled with Peggy and I. And, then I started building more trucks we'd have a driver for all of them. There was actually three of them. There was Philip, Ronnie, and Travis. And Phil did a truck for him. It was called the Bone Crusher. The reason I named it that, we bought the truck from Terry Woodcock, and we went and picked it up. I told him, well, I want to show them how to drive. And this is in, I'll think of the name of the town. But I get in it, and I go out there, and man, I popped up the front, and it came down, and boy, I stabbed it and did an awesome wheelie. And I come back the other way, and I hit it, stabbed it, popped it up, and I lost power, and it came down, and I busted my ribs. And that was the same weekend Calvin Raymer, he would come down and help us and stuff. He did not have a monster truck then. And so I had to put him in unnamed. And but I was hurting so bad that I couldn't drive. So I let the boys do the Bone Crusher deal. And then Calvin Raymer ran my truck. And
Do you remember? Do you remember the first time you met Calvin Raymer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do. He he was starting to put together a truck, and let me think. It was what, Peggy? Oh he bought a truck called the Cookie Monster. I think it was Cookie Monster, poor old crazy. But he started tearing apart and putting that together. And then he was interested in monster trucking, so he would show up at shows and, you know, talk and help out and stuff. And so, but I gave him the first ride in a truck, and we've been friends ever since, you know.
You know, you've given a lot of people opportunities in your trucks over the years. You know, Calvin Raymer was one of them. Gary Schott Jr. was another longtime driver of yours. Then there's another comment in here from another one of your past drivers. There it is. It's from Preston Perez. Says, I love Sam and Peggy. They gave me my first opportunity to drive, and I'll always be grateful for what they did for me.
Yeah, good kid there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it, Preston.
Was that always a goal for you, to give back and give people opportunities?
You know, I've always enjoyed seeing the trucks work. I love, like, whenever I have somebody drive my truck, I like to watch it work, and I like to watch the other trucks work. And although I love to drive them and stuff, but I do like to give people a chance. And right off, where you will know if they got what you're looking for or not, you know. And I enjoy teaching kids, young men, you know.
Absolutely. So, in late 1998, you started building a new Unnamed and Untamed. What was the reason for the new truck?
Well, I tell you what, you can only beat on these upside down and crash them and beat on them so long. So I started building a new chassis because the old one was getting all bent up and stuff. But I'd always, whenever I built a new chassis, I'd buy a generic body and put on the old chassis and sell it to recoup some money for my new truck. You know, and I usually put different differentials up, and then all fresh stuff, you know. And the metal fatigue takes over after a while.
We have another comment here from Steve Porcio, and he says, who is the promoter you have run the most shows with, and who is the most famous drag racer you have ever met? He says, I love you and Peggy.
Yeah, I tell you what, Steve Curcio is awesome. He is probably the best promoter dollar for dollar out there. I know he does a lot of advertising for different other monster truck outfits. But he is my hero, you know. And I don't think most people know it, but John Forrest has got a hardback book out, and Steve Curcio was the one to put him on the map. Believe it or not, but I've read the book.
That's pretty incredible. Do you remember the first time you met Steve?
Along about the first time we would do the mud bogs. He would put on mud bogs, and had the tanks in there with him, and his two kids were little bitty snot-nosed kids. Heck, they probably wasn't 10 years or 8 years old, you know. And we've had a lot of fun together, Steve, Jill, Rick, Peggy, and I. You know, we've did a lot of traveling, man. And the nephews.
We have another comment from Gary Schott, and he says Sam was a great mentor for my son, and I can't count how many times he has helped me.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I like to help people. You know, I'm not the best tuner around, but I can usually get stuff figured out. And Gary is a very good friend of mine, and the son was an awesome driver. He just after a while he was just running a lot harder than what I could afford, you know. but he went on and did other things then. Gary, awesome.
We have another one here from Mike Minter from Warhead. He says, Sam is such a great guy and would do anything for anybody. I appreciate him and Jacob giving Mason advice for the mini when we do shows together.
All right. Well, thanks. Jacob's a lot like me. If somebody needs some advice, if they listen to it, we are there at a there to help them out, you know, because it takes a whole group to do a show. You cannot do a show with one or two trucks.
You got that right, and we'll keep the comment train rolling. We have another one from Lee Plato from Skull Crusher, and he says, first time meeting Sam was over 7 years ago at the World Finals when we had Shane Skull Crusher on display. He and his wife were some of the nicest people in the pits and treated us like family.
Thank you, Lee.
Yeah. So, well, a lot of great comments in here, Sam. And, you know, the last two were from some of our mini monster teams. And I know they always ask this, so I'll beat them to the punch. what's your thoughts on mini monsters?
Oh, I think they're awesome. I think they're awesome. I think there ought to be more out there, and it gives the younger generation something to drive and get them motivated into monster trucks. And whenever they do get into a big truck, they've already got it figured out, you know. But no, they are a big asset to monster trucking.
So moving down the timeline here, I know it eventually came time for you to get, you know, keep getting more trucks into your fleet. How did you get the nasty truck?
I got it from Mike West. And that old chassis didn't last long, so I built a new chassis, and basically just the body is what I ended up using. It was pretty whipped whenever I ended up with it.
So yeah, you eventually named it Nasty Boy. Why the name change, and where? What gave you the idea to change it to Nasty Boy?
Well, Ron, I originally got it for Ronnie, and he was a young man, you know. So, and it already had nasty habits on there. And so we figured, well, Nasty Boy, you know, and that stuck with Ronnie, and he wouldn't have changed that name for nothing.
So it also around that time you started building your newest ride truck, which at the time was the Monster Zone, and then later the Boogie Monster. Now I know we talked about your bus earlier. Why why did you want to change it up from a bus and build something so unique like the Boogie Monster?
Well, it was time for me to do something different because I had it at the same shows for year after year after year, you know, and sometimes twice a year or three times a year. And so it was time to do something different so we could get the people still riding and keep them interested in a ride truck, you know?
Absolutely. So, you know, your fleet continued to expand, and at a certain point, you had three race trucks. You had a Named and Untamed, you had Nasty Boy, and then you had Half Pint. What was the story on Half Pint?
Well, Half Pint, that was actually Half Pint and Bone Crusher was the same truck. It just changed bodies, different bodies. And it was what, Peggy? I don't remember. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I forgot what the question was.
We were talking about Half Pint.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, originally the reason I named it that is I had a little mud racer called Half Pint. And so I thought it was a pretty cool name. And so I ran that for a while.
You know, there's one venue you ran at a lot, and I actually watched you compete there a whole bunch of times. You've done a ton of crazy stuff there, and that'd be the Firebird Raceway, now known as Wild Horse Pass. Now, that's a drag strip. Tell me what it was like running at Firebird, and was it one of your favorite places to run Unnamed and Untamed with your team?
It was not my favorite place, but it is my backyard. I can actually say I never made a nickel there because I was upside down or doing tearing up all kinds of stuff. That pavement, either at times it'll slip, and other times you go to turn and it'll grab and hook you. And I've been up in wheelies to where I come up. And then if you got a locker there and you come up and the truck ahead of you has popped a shock or laid some fluid down on the track, we get up in a wheelie, and that one tire with the locker, it'll break loose and the other tire just grab and it will spin. It spin you around or spin you over and shoot you over the guardrail. Just, I don't know, I've been upside down every which way there.
Definitely some historic moments that had a price to pay. But one of those historic moments was when, like you said, you twisted around, but you landed it. There was one time you didn't, but in our promo video, you can see the one time you did a full 360 off on a slap wheelie, and you landed back on all four wheels. Now, what was going through your mind when you're spinning around on the concrete?
Oh man, I was thinking, oh baby, don't lay over now. I just kept feathering the throttle. I didn't want to hit the brakes. I didn't want to stab it because it was actually comfortable. But I could see I was getting close to the guardrail. And you land just right on guardrail, well, you destroy a tire, or, you know, break off a planetary or whatever. But, you know, I thought, man, I lucked out on this one.
So was there any damages from that move?
That one, no. And then I've got a picture. I don't think I have it in here, but I got a picture. I think Jim and Chris, Jim took it. But I was in a wheelie, and it spun over, and I hit the guardrail, and it twisted all the way upside down, and just barely touched the body and landed on its tires. And man, that was a luck deal there.
You know, Sam, that move lives in such infamy with so many of the current drivers in monster trucks, and especially a lot of the drivers I would work with on the Triple Threat series in Monster Jam. And one of them is Gravedigger's Tyler Menninga. And he's told this to me many times, and he reminded me today. He said, that is forever my favorite clip of a monster truck. And, yeah. You know, Tyler has been crazy on two wheels in his truck. He has wanted to replicate that move so many times in Gravedigger and has yet to do it, but I'm sure he will one day.
Yeah. He is a very, very talented driver. I've talked to him a bunch, you know, and several of the they're the younger guys, and they are so talented, and I wish I could be that young and not have to pay the bills, you know, to go out and drive and learn, you know.
No, I hear you. So, you know, talking about the current generation of drivers, what are your thoughts on, oh, wait, we got the picture. Show me the picture.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Did you land that one, or was that the crash?
No, I landed it. It went all the way upside down. It just barely got the back corner of the body a little bit. I was able to land it and drive it.
Oh, wow.
You know, Sam, you showing me that picture of you upside down reminded me the last time we were at Wild Horse Pass in 2016. You were upside down there, too.
Oh, yeah.
You said it best. That was always a staple for you at Firebird Raceway, that Unnamed Untamed will come out and give you one to remember.
Yeah, I always, you know, and I look back and it was fun. But man, I didn't ever make a nickel there, you know. It just but I was able to show off in front of my friends that came down from Tucson, and I know a lot of people in Phoenix, and I got a lot of fans there, and it was fun.
We just talked about one of your places that wasn't really your favorite. Now I got to ask, what was one of your favorite places to run out here on the West?
Well, my favorite, I'd think that would be at the V back whenever Steve did it about twice a year. Steve Curcio, it was the V Casino, and it was an old sand drag deal, the strip. And that's where you could go all out. You could hit a car or van stack, and drop down, and just carry the wheelie until you got out of the light there. But I always enjoyed that place.
So I know you ran for a lot of different people, and I see Vincent has it in the comments. So Vincent, why don't you ask that?
Oh, yeah, Sam, there was one of those rare occasions that you ran at a Monster Jam show. So, actually, what was your first Monster Jam show like?
Well, I actually ran several of them back in the day. You know, at first, it was awesome. It was awesome. And then, and then they got to where they had all these here young kids out there wanting you to fire up, move 10 feet, keep the line going, fire up half hour before it was time to run. And, you know, and I just, they were so unorganized back then that I just said, no more. I'm done with this BS. And I have a lot more fun at the smaller towns and meeting the same people and a lot of the young kids that grew up and now they got kids and they come up and talk to me about whenever they their father used to bring them and stuff. But no, I have no desire to run a Monster Jam deal. One thing, I couldn't afford it. Another thing, my body couldn't handle it. And another thing, I cannot handle stress or the BS. So
There was a question in the comments that came up earlier, which is Travis Palm, and I'm going to add on to that. Was there any plans on a Hot Wheels monster truck or maybe a Spin Master truck with Unnamed Untamed, Nasty Boy, or any of your trucks? Was there any talk about toys, diecast?
No, no, never. No.
Absolutely. Gotcha.
I'll take that back. Monster Jam, they wanted to do something with the vet, and they said that we took pictures and sent them and stuff, and then they said okay, it'd be, you know, here, December was a few years ago, they said to be here and here by the end of the year, and they never did do it, and phone calls, and finally I told them, no, I ain't doing it, you know, just, but no.
Nope, totally understand. You know, Sam, you had a lot, you've competed in so many different venues, and I know you mentioned, you know, Firebird Raceway, although it's not one of your favorites, it's pretty much your backyard. But another kind of backyard event would be in Glendale at Cardinals Stadium. What were those experiences like competing where the Arizona Cardinals play football?
Oh yeah, that I forgot about that. But yeah, we was the let's see, it was shoot. I know Torgerson sold out to somebody else there, and they got to Cardinals Stadium. We was the first monster truck event that was held in there, and I think that was pretty awesome. And then there was one barefoot truck or something that ran and crashed down a wall. And up until a while back, I used to have a piece of that wall, but I don't know what happened to it now.
Phil has a lot of background with that wall.
Yeah, that wall has lived on in legend. Whenever Monster Jam goes through there or whoever, we always make sure to, you know, say a little prayer by the wall that barefoot christened the building.
Yeah.
You know, Sam, some of the other cool places you've competed were down in Mexico. You know, what were those experiences like going south of the border?
You know, always enjoyed it. Always had fun. I was never really nervous. I got a few buddies that live in Mexico. Cesar Nanez, he would drive the vet at times for me there, and then I think he drove another truck or something for me there. But you know. It was awesome. It, you know, and you hang out, you do displays, you know, and you can't really communicate with a lot of the people. But after you're around the Spanish people, well, you can figure out what they're saying and what they're talking about. And they love the trucks. And it was so cool to see the little people with the big old eyes and stuff whenever they come and see them. And, you know, and meet us on displays and stuff. But no, I always enjoyed them. They always had, 90% of the time, they had kick butt crowds, you know, and there never was hassle once across the border there. And so, no, good times.
So, where is the farthest place you've traveled with your monster trucks?
Okay, we have been all of the way Chiapas, all the way into the very end of Mexico. That is the farthest that I've been down. And then here in the States back years ago, I ran for Beckley, and we did a tour up through the Midwest, Michigan. Michigan, come down to Iowa or someplace. I don't know. Made a big circle around one summer. That was a long trip. You know, so.
Absolutely. So moving a little bit more towards current times in the 2010s, it came time for you guys to build a new truck for your team. and that truck being Rat Attack. What was the design process on building that truck?
Well, the frame was built by John. I'll think of his last name here, but he's out of California. He's a very talented builder. He don't normally build monster trucks, but he wanted to build one, and then he fell on hard times, and he needed to sell it. And I didn't really want another one then, but whenever I went and seen the workmanship on it, I had to have it, and so I got it, and I didn't even get a divorce over it.
That was a good deal. What was the process of putting a Corvette body on the truck? Was the body already there, or was that something you thought of?
No, the body. He actually built the frame around the body, but we had to go ahead and fiberglass the doors on, and because the doors were separate and the hood separate, of course, and we had to modify it a bunch there, but. The chassis was built for the Corvette body.
So now how does that truck run differently compared to Unnamed and Untamed?
Well, as far as me driving it, myself driving it, I've drove it before. I don't like it. And Unnamed, you know, it is a cruiser to me. And then I've had like Jacob, I've had him to drive Unnamed before, and he didn't hardly have a clue. He was able to do it, but that truck fits him so well, and I think that's because that's the only truck he drove for years, and the kids has got it down pat. And Ronnie, before he died, well, he did a good job in it, you know, but he wasn't in it as long as Jacob's been on. And Cesar Nanez out of Mexico, he used to come here and drive it at times, and I think Piggy, every time he drove it, he got it upside down, didn't he, Cesar? Yeah.
I tell you, Sam, I think I've been at a lot of those Cesar rollovers. That was always a good time hanging out with him, but just like you at Firebird, every single time Mr. Nunez was in the truck, it was going for a ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I got to ask, where did you meet Cesar, and how did it come about that you wanted him on the team?
Well, I tell you what, I used to just take one truck this year, 25 years ago, 26 years ago, used to take one truck into Mexico and do an exhibition deal at the drag strips, and a buddy of mine from here, he had a jet car, and he would go down, and we'd always buddy up together. And Cesar is a drag racer, and he always come over, hung out, awesome guy, you know. And so I met him in Mexico, and we've been friends ever since, and you know. And great guy, and he is an engineer for Ford. I do give him a lot of crap over that for working for Ford. But
now, absolutely, you know, your current driver is Jacob Ladwig. I know he's grown to be a great driver. Where did you find Jacob?
Well, found him in Casper, Wyoming. That is his hometown. Used to go there a lot in the middle of winter with Beckley, you know, doing the Coliseum there. And Jacob, that's it. Met him on the display. You know, he come and hung out with the truck and talked a lot. And then he asked if he could help, you know, at the show, and told him sure. And he's the only kid that I've ever had. And listen, it was like the wind chill was 20 below, and we had to get tired up. Yeah, he had to get tires on the trailer, get it all loaded up that night. He hung out there in the cold until the last piece was loaded, you know. And so I thought, man, that this here's one little interested young man, and he was still in high school then.
Totally. Hey, you know, you've added some recent toys to your collection. One of them being the Blast from the Past jet truck. Why did you decide to get a jet truck?
Well, I ran them before, and you know, I'm not getting any younger, and I need something to do, and I enjoy running the jet. It's you know, and it's not hard work. It don't beat you up, but yeah. And I just like to fire up that motor and wind her up and melt down something, you know.
So another fan question from Rick Curcio. He says, "Do you enjoy your jet truck more than than your monster truck?"
You know, the older I get, yes, I do. No, but. But if I was still young, well, up until I'd say five years ago, I would never said that I liked the jet truck better. But anymore, you know, my body, I can't really handle driving, you know, especially if there's two shows or whatever. And but I'm, you know, It is time for me to turn it over to the kids and let them run, you know.
One of those people you've had drive Unnamed and Untamed occasionally would be Juan Munoz from Bakersfield. Where did you find Juan to drive part-time for your team?
Well, met him at Bill shows, I think, yeah. Many of my Bill shows, and then I found out he was from Bakersfield, and then whenever we'd do Bakersfield, well, he would come and hang out, and then I seen him drive a couple times Bill stuff, and I seen that he had talent, you know. He didn't drive over his head, you know. He used his head on a lot of stuff, and so, you know, I asked him if he was interested, and he said, of course, you know.
Well, you got him in the seat there while you're messing with another new toy, your Blaze of Glory tank. I know my buddy Brian Anger is a big fan of your tank, and he want to know, what's the story on that tank?
Well, I shouldn't have did it, but a buddy of mine back years ago built it. And it actually, it was a missile launcher. It's all aluminum tub, all the turret and all the fenders is all fab. It is all lightweight aluminum. And it had been setting, I'd been after it for like 15 years. And I finally ended up with it. I had to tear it all apart and sandblast it and put a motor tranny in it, do the steering, do it all. And, you know, I like to sell it, you know, but it is cool. It is awesome. You know, a beautiful piece.
It's that time in our show where it's time for the photo segment. It's time for Explain That Photo.
Okay.
All right. It's that time of the night. We show a picture. And we will let our guests explain it. So show me the first picture. Do you remember where that is, Sam?
Don't have a clue, man. Don't have a clue.
I wish I knew either. That's okay. Yeah. Vincent, you have a picture where we remember?
I got another photo here.
So many.
What was the story behind this paint scheme also?
Yeah, that was different. You know, I guess I liked it, but I liked the yellow, and now I like the black better. But doesn't that look like it's in Phoenix? At the Coliseum there, maybe?
Sort of. I see Gravedigger in the background.
Yeah.
I'm sure if Jason's in the comments, Jason Rivas, he'll give us a better clue.
Yeah.
With his extensive.
He knows everything.
Yeah. Don't worry. We'll interview Jason one of these days, too. Don't worry.
Levi says, I think that's Bakersfield.
The Bakersfield?
And Juan said it's Bakersfield. So
Juan says it's Bakersfield.
Juan must have been there.
Okay.
We got another photo here. This looks like a fun time.
Yep. The guy with the mohawk, that is Ronnie. That is my nephew. He was actually driving at that. And the story is behind that. Is him and I'm pretty sure that's the one, because I know Ronnie was pretty upset with it. But him and Austin 316s with Terry, one of his trucks, he had an Austin 316 body, and all the announcer was Austin 316 this and that and stuff. And so it was him and Ronnie, and on the final Ronnie was driving. I told Ronnie, I said, if you don't kick his ass, you're fired. And so it costed me, but he got him.
Terry Woodcock's in the comments, and he says, oh boy, I remember that crash.
Yeah, I still got the newspaper clipping that Ronnie got from Victorville or up there. It is still hanging in the motorhome.
We have another photo for you here.
Well,
vacation.
Well, that was down in Chiapas, Mexico. We'd taken all the trucks down there to do a show, and they took us on a river tour, and they dropped us off in Chiapas. Yeah, and then they took us at the further end of the river. They dropped us off there for a while, and we drank beer, tequila, whatever, and see all the animals and have a good time, and then they pick us up and bring us to different areas where they had the zip lines and stuff, and so we drank more beer and drank more tequila and had a ball, man, had a ball.
It's like we have one more photo for you here, and we're gonna end this segment. Now this is an interesting one. Who's that behind the wheel?
That could be me.
That is you.
That is you, driving Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
What's the story behind that?
Okay. That was in Sholo, Arizona. Jimmy and Darren Migas had come up and was doing a show there. And Jimmy ended up in the hospital with, I don't know, his spinal meningitis or something. And so they asked me if I would drive it, and I told them, well, sure, I would drive it, you know. So I went out there and had a ball in it, and guys, I had forgot all about that.
Well, good thing we have a picture. Good thing we had the picture, right?
Yeah.
It's So he's in the, I know he's in the comments, Terry Woodcock. He's one of our past guests. Do you have any good Terry Woodcock stories?
Well, I tell you what, Terry Woodcock is a very good buddy of mine. You know, I'd do anything for him, and I think he'd do anything for me. You know, I've helped him out here lately, building him some stock motors for some of his older monster trucks and stuff. And no, Terry and I go back a long ways, man, long ways. And awesome guy. His brothers also, both Danny and Dave. You know, and no, good guy. But as far as any good stories, no. or none that I would want to tell.
Fair enough. That's leave it at that. That's quite all right.
Yeah.
Hey, got another comment here from Chris Coe. He says, how much backlash did you get from jumping the ramp with the photographer under the jump?
Oh, man.
I think that's from one of the pictures we showed.
Me?
I guess.
I would have to see the picture because I don't know a thing about that.
Hmm. Well,
me neither.
I don't know. Maybe if Chris is still in the comments, give us a little more background, Chris. Yeah, there's Gary. Gary Schott says, it's hard to remember those old stories. Yeah, I'm right there with you, Gary.
Same here. I wouldn't know either way. But I have a question for you. It's if you could drive any truck, past or present, what would it be?
If I could drive any truck other than mine?
Yes.
Yes.
And you know, I like to drive one of the digger trucks that lands real good, like the son of a digger. That truck lands awesome. You know, that's probably one of the ones if I could choose which one I'd like to. I'd like to see how that drove.
No, I can agree with you there. You know, it's currently 2020 when we're doing this interview. Monster Trucks has changed a lot from when you got started in it to where we're at now. What are your thoughts on some of the evolution of what the trucks are doing from just crushing cars to now they're doing backflips and they're balancing on one or two wheels?
Well, I think it's awesome that the young man has brought it to a different level, you know. I enjoy watching sitting down and watching the Monster Jam show on TV. Matter of fact, we record all of them, and but some of the talent of those young guys is just awesome, you know. And it'd be nice to be in their shoes. Not have to, like I've said before, not have to pay for the truck. Maybe get yelled at, but you know that wouldn't bother me. I don't out having fun, but yeah, it is leaps and bounds to compare to what it used to be.
Has there ever been a place you wanted to run the truck that you haven't already gone to? Maybe a venue?
No, I can't really say that, you know. I've ran so many places, you know, and enjoyed the 90% of them.
But that's what I like to hear. You know, there's another fan comment earlier from Fernando Martinez. He says, what's been your favorite moment in your career thus far?
Wow, that's a tough one. I've had so many favorite moments. You know, I think some of my favorite moments is watching the kids win and go out and do good, drive good, do nice long wheelies, do something different that other trucks don't normally do all the time. And you know, as far as I don't know. That's one of my big highlights that I've enjoyed doing is watching the kids grow up, you know, and drive the trucks.
I think that's a pretty fair answer there. You know, Sam, you've been driving for quite some time now, and I know one of the things we always say is you never slow down in monster trucks, but do you see a timetable on when you'd be slowing down in the business?
Yeah, you know, I think that time is now. I just, especially since I haven't did it in a while, my old body is just, I'm beat up, you know. I'm 70 years old now, and I can still get in that old girl and go out there and think I'm 25, but afterwards it don't work.
Totally get you. Vincent, do you have another question?
Yeah, I have a question. What is the future like for Unnamed Untamed? Do you have anybody you want to drive it for a while?
You know, I'd like to keep it going. It's up to Jacob. You know, Jacob's my main guy. He's, you know, but how long can Jacob hang on without a job? Because we're not doing any shows. I don't see anything happening in the near future. It may be another year before this picks up, and the kid can't be in a little limbo forever. And I've even thought about trying to sell Unnamed, you know, and then make a deal with Jacob on the vet. But there isn't a market for used monster truck. So I don't know.
You know, Sam, this is a interesting question I ask a couple times. Do you have any regrets in monster trucks?
You know, no, I don't. I don't have a regret one. I've had fun. I went a lot of places, and enjoyed the nephews and all the other drivers. And I don't have any regrets.
And I ask this question about every episode, and it's going to be interesting hearing it for someone like you who's been in the business for as long as you have been. What advice do you have for someone wanting to get in monster trucks, wanting to get their foot in the door in the industry?
Well, I don't really know how to answer that, but if you're totally into it, you need to do what Jacob did. You need to go out there, help. You need to chase them, follow them, help, keep in contact. But unless you got a bunch of money, well, you just can't go out and buy one because they are spendy, you know. And I don't know. But yeah, the biggest advice is pick the team or something that you can get along with, and you can be helpful to them. And you know, and somebody a chance they would pick you up. That's how I got the other guys. You know, they was interested in helping, working hard. It is not an easy job.
Phil, do you got something for us?
Yeah, got another couple fan comments here. We have one from driver Ghost Rider, Larry Quick. He says, even at 70, if you can win a race against Sammy, he had a mechanical issue, or let you win, and that's a fact. Best racer I have ever seen.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate that comment.
Absolutely. We have another comment here. I'll bring it up here on screen. It's from Jacob Ladwig. He says, if there wasn't for Sam, there would be no way I'd be where I am today.
A good kid. Good kid. A hardworking kid.
I think this is going to be my final question of the night. When it comes time to hang up the fire suit and driving monster trucks, what are you going to miss most?
Well, I will still be out there with the jet truck, you know. So, you know, I miss the traveling, you know, which we haven't did that much of it this year. But I do miss that. This year is the most I've ever been home at one time. It's the longest time I've ever been home. And sure is different, you know. But, meeting the people, you know, I am a people person. I like to meet people. And then, man, I get so many people that come up and they start talking to me like we're old, long lost buddies. Don't even have a clue, man. Until finally they say something that clicked with me. But I enjoy that.
You know, Sam, we've shared a lot of memories and stories here tonight, and you know, it's I've learned a lot about you. I had no idea like you drove Bigfoot, but I always wrap up podcasts asking the same classic question. You know, you've accomplished a lot in your career. You've gone to so many places. But when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, to be known as the guy that has done wheelies the most of his career, you know. And just put it on a good show, I think, you know. And shoot, I don't know. I've enjoyed the whole tour, you know.
That's a great way to put it, Sam. I tell you, there's been a lot of great people in the comments here. Just you've given so many people opportunities. It's amazing how much people that you've had your hand in and to see where they grow in the sport. And I know Vinny can attest to this as well, that it's all about giving back in so many ways. And it's one of those things, you don't realize it, that you've given back to so many people until it's pretty much over with.
Yeah. 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 It has been fun, and it will still be fun, you know, if we ever get back out there or when, you know. So.
Oh, can't agree with you more there. You're not slowing down. The best is still yet to come. I know Vince can attest to this. We've seen you so many times here at all the local events. I know you've helped us out a lot too, and just letting us be around your trucks and letting us just learn on how to conduct yourself in a professional manner and just to have fun all at the same time. And we really appreciate that, Sam. You've taught us a lot.
Okay. Okay, guys. Well, I highly appreciate you too and the other people like you guys that are out there keeping this air active, you know, instead of just a shutdown deal. So thanks.
No problem. We had a great time having you on tonight.
Yeah, we really appreciate you being on here tonight. I know we worked through some of the technical glitches, and I know once we do a little bit of the editing out of the beginning, we'll have a great, solid episode that a lot of people will enjoy for a very long time.
Okay. We'll be safe out there. Good luck.
Awesome.
Thank you, Sam. See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. And I must give a shout out to a huge thank you to Sam's wife, Peggy, for being very patient with us and making sure yep. Everything was working on Sam's end, and we had a little bit of snafu in the beginning. If you're listening to us later, you're not going to see any of that, but huge thanks to Peggy for her help as well, and a huge shout-out to Jason Rivas as well, giving us a lot of great pictures and some information. You know, I think there's so much to learn about a guy like Sam. I know we only scratched the surface. Such a long-storied career.
You have to put that Bigfoot new driver on your list, Phil.
Yeah, I tell you, it's that's something I've known Sam for many years, and I've never known that Sam got behind the wheel of a Bigfoot truck once. I know he drove Bounty Hunter, but Bigfoot was new to me, and I'm sure a lot of people learned a lot of new information here tonight. and I know the comment there from Larry Quick mentioned it. Sam is 70 years old. He is the oldest active monster truck driver on the circuit. And, you know, age is just a number. You know, that's the reason why we didn't talk about age here tonight, because that's definitely not – doesn't define Sam.
Nope.
It's the work etiquette that he puts out there and the success that he's had on the track. It don't matter if he's 9 or 99. That's he'll put the pedal to the metal, and he'll still give you a show.
I definitely agree with you. I mean, every time I've seen Sam recently, he's still doing slap wheelies and doesn't seem like he's aging behind the truck. That's for sure.
Or burning cars. You know, we were at that show in Yuma, Arizona a couple weeks ago, and that's where we last saw Sam. And he was out there with the jet truck, and he was lighting up the crowd like it was going out of style.
Hopefully we can see more of that in the near future. Like Phil said, Yuma, we want to do more stuff like that at shows. So hopefully we can get back to normal sometime soon and can do more of that. Definitely was a fun time seeing Sam again, and never knew how much I missed it until I went back.
Absolutely. And again, we really appreciate Sam coming on board with us here tonight. And until then, we're going to keep doing all of our stuff here on Facebook and wherever you hear this audio podcast afterwards. If you guys don't know, we do this live every week on Facebook where we answer your questions and we tell the stories of the past, present, and future of monster trucks on the West Coast. We go far and wide across this West Coast, and that includes all the different people we interview on here. Next week will be another great guest. I actually confirmed him during the show.
Who is it?
We'll announce it next week. I told him keep it a secret, but it should be another good one. I know next week's Thanksgiving time, so really appreciate him coming on board with us on Black Friday.
I tried. I tried for those watching.
Yeah, well, be another good episode next week. We'll be still rocking and rolling here. If you want to catch some of our past episodes, like we've interviewed Juan Munoz, who drives for Sam Sturgis, and a lot of Sam's old friends like Terry Wilcock and Steve Curcio, their episodes are all in our archives. You can go to our Facebook page, check out that video tab, live podcast episodes, so you can see all of our past episodes. Or you can listen to us audio only, wherever you listen to podcasts. I think it's safe to say we are on every single podcast platform. And I say that knowing that there's probably a new platform that pops up that I've never heard of.
And if you know that platform, make sure you mention it, because Phil will put it on there.
We'll get on there. But Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Audible, Pandora, those are some of our new ones. Wherever you hear sound, you can find our podcast. You can find all of our past episodes there, as well as wherever you're on the go, in the car, in the gym, on the airplane, whatever. You can find our podcast there. Also, you can check out our YouTube channel. You can find the same video podcast that we do here on Facebook, just over up on YouTube.
Yeah, another shout out to Gary Schott, Rod Wood, just, you know, everyone tuning in. Most of the people in the comments, you'd be surprised. We've had them on in previous episodes, and it adds more pieces to the puzzle, adding on from Sam's story. I mean, there's a lot of information to be heard, and all the guys we've had on, everyone's a piece of the puzzle on the West, that's for sure.
And so it's thanks to guys like that, and thanks to everybody in the comments, that we could continue to ask questions and tell the stories and really build an archive. You know, might be one day we don't do this anymore, or monster trucks do something different. At least we have everybody's story in one place and making memories one podcast episode at a time.
That's for sure.
It's been another great one. We'll see you here
next Friday.
Next Friday for another podcast episode here, Monster Trucks Outlaws of the West.